This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is a Joy 94.9 podcast presented by Paul Anthony with the assistance of the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Victoria Police, Crime Stoppers and Joy 94.9 working together to make our community safe. Due to copyright restrictions, the music has been edited to make this podcast possible.
Ever wanted to leap tall buildings, uphold the law, solve a crime, but just don't have the time?
Go!
Tune in to Joy 94.9 Wednesdays at 11 a.m. when Victoria Police Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers
Gabby and Scott
ask for your help in solving crime.
Victoria Police GLOWS, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Paul Anthony with you on Vic Police GLOW Show. Give it up for Gordon. We'll have more Gordon next week from 9 through to 11 on a Wednesday. And you can also catch Gordon and the crew on GPS on Sunday morning, 7 o'clock. You won't be catching me that early. Joining me in the studio for the Victoria Police GLOW Show is Sergeant Scott Davis.
I know, I've tried to catch you that early and I've never been successful.
No chance at all. And also, Gabby Tayak.
I'm normally getting a coffee at that time.
Senior Constable. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. Scotty, is this your last show?
Yes and no. I won't be back next week, but then Gabby's going to Sydney the week after, so I'll have to come back for that one. It makes it all sound really bad. I have to come back. But yes, I'm going away for 3 months on a secondment within Victoria Police.
I thought he's doing another 3 months...
long service leave?
Leave or something.
Well, I've got it there. I could take it, but no, I'm not going to.
Just showing your age there, Scotty.
Two sets of
Yeah, 23
service.
Years with Whoa. Victoria Police. Yes, yeah, so I'm going off to head the training coordination position within my department. So looking at all the training that we do out at the police academy and with other police within Victoria Police. So yes, that's going to be my role for a little while.
So we'll be without the robot.
Yes. I will ring up every now and again and just go...
You go what? Oh, you'll say this.
I was waiting.
Gabby and Scott.
Yes.
The robot.
I'll just ring up every now and again and say that. So Gabby's going to be me.
Again.
Oh, yes. Okay. Acting Sergeant Gabby Tyke from, probably from next week, but it looks like.
It looks like, yes.
Yes.
Alrighty. What have we got on this show today? This Victoria Police GLOW Show, which is a relationship between Victoria Police, the Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officers, Crime Stoppers, and the Anti-Violence Project.
Well, we have our Vic Police News, and we have a couple of special guests. One via phone, who's our Ballarat GLOW, Mina Martin. And we've also got a volunteer for the AVP, and that's Scott Harrison, so he'll be in too. Talk
Fantastic.
About the AVP.
Now, we do have to warn people that our GLOW in Ballarat is actually on the divisional van today. So we will be ringing her up, but if she's in a pursuit or out at a job or something like that, yeah, she probably won't answer the phone when we ring.
When I spoke to her earlier this morning, she was writing out a traffic ticket for some unlucky motorist who was doing something wrong.
But we will attempt to get her on the phone to have a bit of a chat.
It's time for Vic Police News.
Victoria Police News is winding up their month-long knife amnesty. Machetes, swords, hunting knives, butcher knives, flick knives are just a sample of over 800 weapons handed into police following the successful month-long amnesty. And as part of the continued focus on knife crime, we gave people one last chance to hand in their weapons before introducing tougher fines and police powers. And a total of 810 weapons were handed in.
On April 1st, Victoria Police Deputy Commissioner Kieran Walsh launched the knife amnesty, giving people the opportunity to hand in unwanted or illegal items without facing penalty. The amnesty follows a number of targeted weapon search operations in the metropolitan Melbourne in recent months, with police strongly focused on taking potential deadly weapons off the street. And if you remember, we had Inspector Phil Green in here talking about some of those operations, talking about the Flinders Street operation that was about to run. So Licensing Services Division Superintendent Wayne Ashley said police were extremely pleased with the result and thanked the community for helping reduce the amount of weapons in circulation before they end up being used for crime.
And there are new and heftier penalties currently before Parliament, which will include proposed on-the-spot fines of $1,000 for anyone aged 16 or above carrying a controlled knife or weapon, and also $2,000 on-the-spot fines if you're caught in or around licensed premises. And this will no doubt send a strong message to people who think it's acceptable to arm themselves with a knife.
Questions from me?
Yes, go ahead.
From the Peanut Gallery.
What is that very nice? That's cue for one of these, if it works.
Gabby and Scott.
What's controlled knife or weapon?
We're talking about any sort of form of weapon that might be carried for the purposes of using it as a weapon. So you can't carry things for self-defense, is basically what we're saying. Okay. If you're carrying it for a legal purpose, and the example that Phil Green gave when he was on here was the butcher or the apprentice chef. So there are people who are required to carry knives to and from work and keep them sharp and all those sorts of things, but they can't, if they're carrying them at 2 o'clock in the morning, it's really unlikely that they're on their way to work.
Or carrying them in a nightclub. Well, that's obviously not
what if
correct.
They're a hitman or a serial killer on the way to work?
Yeah. We're talking about legitimate and legal work.
Over the age of 16, so someone under the age of 15, I thought they would have had the law just for everybody.
It is for everyone. So for 10 and above, you can't commit an offence under the age of 10, but 10 and above, you could be arrested. But we have diversion programs and a whole range of other things put in place to be able to manage them in the first instance. But obviously, if a serious offence is committed, then court is an option for those under 15.
So it was one last chance. This is your last chance. That's it.
And now it's over.
Yes.
Don't be carrying the controlled weapons or any kind of knives or weapons.
I'll tell you who'd be happy that you're not carrying knives anymore. It's the woman that used to be on that little wheel that used to spin around and the magician would throw them at her. But she's happy.
Yeah, see, legitimate purpose to carry them. Entertainment, yeah.
Well, technically.
Doesn't quite work that way.
All right.
But we're not going to start spinning you around on a wheel in here and throwing knives because that isn't legitimate. Even though it may be with Paul, it could be.
Oh, thanks a lot.
Sorry.
So what, Scotty's gone away for 3 months and you're just getting in ready to take over his spot. I can see that. For more police news, get across to
VicPoliceNews.com.au.
Joy 94.9, award-winning radio.
Paul Anthony with you on the Victoria Police Glow Show, Scotty Davis and Gabby Tyack.
Paul, on the line, we have Mina Martin, who's our Glow in Ballarat.
All the way in Ballarat. Mina, welcome to the Victoria Police Glow Show.
G'day there. How are we going?
Good, good.
What's sunny Ballarat like this morning?
Yes, it's not too much sun. Very overcast and quite cold.
It sounds a bit slippery. You've been at a few accidents this morning.
Yeah, we have, Gab. One out on the Western Highway where a truck went off the road due to the fog, and now we just stand to a vehicle into a power pole, so we've got some active lines down. So
hopefully no injuries.
Not at this stage, no. They continued on, but they've made a real mess.
Oh, okay.
Timmy.
Mina, you never caused the accident, did you?
No, I was in the office, so I've got a pretty good alibi.
All right, cool.
If Paul was a little bit worried that you might have had the accident, but we assured him it wasn't you.
No. I'm all safe and well.
You're our GLOW up in Ballarat, or our Gay and Lesbian Liaison Officer. How long have you been doing that for now?
Approximately 3.5 years.
Is it that long, really?
Yeah, I believe so. Yes, it's 4 years in October since I've been in Ballarat, and it was a short time once I started that, I was approached to do the role. So, 3.5 years, it's been a while.
It has been. Time flies. It certainly does. And how have you found the role?
No, good. Very enjoyable. I've made some good connections through our young youth groups, ARC up here, and obviously general members of the public as well. And no, it's been very rewarding. Certainly, it's been an education for me too. I've learnt a lot. So no, it's been great.
Mina, I'm always interested in how people take on the GLOW role and what leads them to actually taking on the role. So can you tell us a bit about what happened there?
Well, I was actually approached by my officer in charge whether I'd be interested in taking on the portfolio. And it's just taken off from there. I've just had, obviously, information passed on to myself where I've made some contacts with our ZARC youth group in Ballarat. I've had dealings through our family violence unit where we've had victims come into our station, and it's all part of my policing role. It's part and parcel. It's just an extra little sidestep that I do. So, no, it's been really good.
So it's a portfolio position for you, isn't it, Mina? So you do your normal role. You're out on the van doing the jobs and whatever else your role involves, and if anything comes up that involves a homophobic crime or a gay person who wants to talk to police and wants to speak to a GLOW, that's where you come into it, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much. Sometimes we get victims who, say, are maybe gay or who don't feel comfortable, I suppose, just coming into the police station. So having that person there that obviously has an interest and has an understanding, an extra understanding, I should say, is really good. It gives them the opportunity to come and talk to me direct, as well as our other members at the station. But obviously, it being my portfolio, that's my sort of specialised little area. So, yeah.
And earlier this month, we had International Day Against Homophobia.
Yeah, that's correct. I was contacted by the Zark Youth Group.
From Ash McKnight?
Yeah, Ash McKnight from there. He manages that. And we headed down the Bridge Mall in Ballarat where we had some sporting groups attend, the Ballarat Miners, which are our basketball team, and we had a couple of members from the Red Devils, which is our soccer team. And we had a lot of the young people from Zark, our youth group, who come down and participated. We had some, it was more so an information awareness too for the general public, and no, it was great. We had some sporting activities, and yeah, we all got on board and got involved in that. It was a worthwhile couple of hours. It was great.
Mina, before taking on the role of a gay and lesbian liaison officer, did you know what to expect? And being in the role, was it what you expected?
Yeah, I did have some idea, obviously, with the groups of people I'd be dealing with. I sort of wasn't aware of how much work the young people from Zark do. They're very proactive and very involved, and it's great that they sort of want to promote us as Vic Police to be a part of it and to get involved. So I was surprised by that. But no, look, it's each year I think the awareness is growing, and yeah, we're getting more involved.
And it's a really strong group there. At times they can have up to 60 young people attending their weekly meetings.
Yeah, that's correct. And look, they're a great group of kids, and it's great to see that they're so focused at such a young age, and I really admire them.
For me, coming out to the event in Bridge Mall, I just found it a really exciting thing for this group of same-sex attracted young people and allies to actually have ownership of a public space, which would be normally a little bit difficult for them to be able to have ownership of.
Yeah, and, you know, they stood up proud and, you know, as I said, provided information to general members of the public, and, no, they did a really, really good job, so it was really good to see, and I was proud to be a part of it.
Mina, you've been in the role for 3 years. Was there a gay and lesbian role before that?
I believe so, but it was held by another member at the station.
So how has the public come to terms with having a gay and lesbian liaison officer in Ballarat? Has it been a good response?
At Ballarat, I think the other members look forward to the point that they can come and talk to me because it is my specialised portfolio, and if they need further information, they know that I'm there to liaise with. And, yeah, it's just any other portfolio area that we have at the station. It's just a specialised area, and, yeah.
And you do it well.
Thank you. Thanks,
everyone. Now, Mina, we've just had a call from Ballarat's council. They said they want their power restored, so we're going to have to let you go.
Yeah, we've got power call out here. It's all happening as we speak.
All right. Thanks for joining us, Mina.
Thanks very much, Scott.
Stay safe.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mina Martin there, the Ballarat Glow. Actually, we're attending an accident as we were speaking.
Yeah, so. With lines down on the road. Always, a bit, you know, a bit of not fun. I was trying to think of a word. But
and it would be cold, too.
Yeah.
Moving along, we've got the crime stats for Crime Stoppers.
Yeah, now normally we would have Joe Baird in the office here with us.
What was that? Joe Baird's gone.
Yes, Joe Baird has left Crime Stoppers, but the relationship with Crime Stoppers remains strong, and they have provided us with the monthly stats for May.
All right, go on, Gab.
Next month, the CEO, Peter Sprott, will be joining us to give us the monthly results.
Okay, well, this month it won't be the same without Joe, but go on,
Gabby. I'll do my best. Go on. So far this month, there have been approximately 50 arrests, 150 charges, $500,000 worth of drugs seized, and $50,000 worth of property recovered.
And as a result of information received through Crime Stoppers, search warrants were executed on a 57-year-old male who was found in possession of child pornography on his computer. Another search warrant was executed on a 29-year-old male found in possession of cannabis valued at about $10,000 and stolen goods also valued at $5,000. And another search warrant was executed on a 52-year-old female found in possession of hydroponic cannabis crop and firearms.
And these results are all from people calling in information to Crime Stoppers.
So they have to have like a few call-ins, and then they go and check it out, and then they say, oh, look at that.
Yep, so people will ring in with information, and the analysts at Crime Stoppers will work through the information and provide that onto the detectives, who will then act on the information that's provided. If there's enough there, as it has been in a couple of these incidents, they've been able to take out a search warrant and then get across to those places, execute the search warrant, and they've resulted in child pornography and drugs and stolen goods being seized by police, which is always a good thing.
So that's it for the roundup?
That's it for the roundup. It was a short roundup, but it'll be longer next time when Peter's in.
You can get across to crimestoppers.com.au and they've got all the stats on that in there as well.
And nothing, Paul, nothing is too small or insignificant to tell us. Every little piece might lead to an arrest.
Just think of it like a jigsaw puzzle. You find one little bit. If you threw that away, they could have used it.
That's right.
That's right.
Made in Melbourne for the world. Joy 94.9.
Paul Anthony with you on the Vic Police Glow Show. Scotty Davis and also Gabby Tayak joining us.
I enjoyed that one. I just thought I'd tell you.
The song?
Yeah.
It's odd for Scott to enjoy your music, Paul.
It's not my music. It's the station's music.
I generally like it. Scott's hard to please.
Okay.
Around a whole lot of things, including music.
He's going for 3 months, so what does it matter? Moving along with our guest today, we do have with us a volunteer from the AVP, and we're going to drill
in. What's the AVP?
The AVP is the Anti-Violence Project, and you can get across to antiviolenceproject.info.
Listen to that radio voice. He wasn't talking like that 3 seconds ago.
No. Wasn't I?
He was very high-pitched.
Was I? Okay. All right. Well, joining us in the studio from the AVP, the Anti-Violence Project, Scott Harrison, welcome.
Good morning.
Scott, how long have you been volunteering with the AVP?
A matter of days.
It's a bit like that, isn't it?
I'm very green.
You've just started?
I have just started, yeah.
Okay, well, your friend of Scotty's, because you've got sort of a purple type of shirt on, and Scotty's favourite colour is purple, so you're doing well.
That's my colour. Well, there he copied me.
Well, no, I think he's a bit older than you, so...
True.
So there you go.
How did you get involved with the AVP, Scott? This is going to be a bit confusing. He can be Scotty... And
no, you're Scotty.
I'm Scotty, and he can be Scott. He can be Scott. He can be Neville.
Neville's.
No, we're not talking about Neville.
Scott, no friends, and Neville will.
That's not very nice.
Oh, no.
I need a boo signal for that.
You forgot the Howard part. How would you feel?
So you can see these two are friends.
No, it's not how would you feel. It's how would you get involved with the AVP?
Correct.
How did you get involved with the AVP, Scott?
Well, it all sort of stemmed from the Melbourne Queer Film Festival, actually. I went to one of the shows, which was a documentary called Holding Hands, and wasn't really aware of what that documentary was going to involve, but very quickly became aware that it was involving violence against homosexuals and homophobia. And it really struck a chord with me personally to think that we had members in our community subjected to such violence and trauma. And I just had this gut reaction that, you know, we need to do something about it. I wanted to find out more about what we were or could be doing to stop that in our community. And I've sort of asked more questions and talked to a few more people such as yourself and Greg Atkins. And I'm just in sponge mode at the moment to sort of learn more about what the project's doing, what its sort of mantra is, and where we're going to take it forward and get more involved with the community and create an awareness.
It was a fairly moving documentary.
Very moving.
I know I was invited along as a guest panellist along with Liam Leonard from Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria and Martin Foley, who's the local member for Albert Park, to be involved in a panel afterwards. So I had to view the documentary beforehand, and then we obviously saw it on the day down at Acme. And I cried. I'm a hopeless, you know, tragic around that sort of stuff at the best of times anyway, but I cried about 3 or 4 times through it each time I saw it.
My eyes were willing to.
Yeah, mostly around the happier moments where I cried, but it was because it had been such a tragedy beforehand. Can you remember much of the story?
Yeah, I was just thinking that for the benefit of the listeners, we could probably briefly talk about what the documentary was about. Basically, there was two guys from memory who were walking down the street late at night.
Surry Hills in New South Wales.
And were attacked, I think, from behind, was that right?
That's right.
And quite brutally, actually. And one gentleman fell to the ground and hit the ground face first, I think, from memory.
Yeah, and then copped a kicking while he was down.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And can't remember whether they actually found the perpetrator yet, but I don't think they have. So then there was this story about what happened, how it happened, what happened afterwards, how New South Wales police and the community dealt with the issue, how it affected the couple's relationship themselves, their immediate family around them and their friends, their work, their survival, recovery, recuperation, you know, their mental health, etc. There was a lot of different facets that were sort of touched on in the documentary.
It sort of followed them for about 12 to 18 months after the incident, didn't it?
Yeah, and so you got different snippets about how it was affecting them, how it was affecting their family, their work, their lifestyle, their relationship, and you got to look at how police were dealing with it, or weren't dealing with it, and how things have changed.
I think we have to be upfront and honest here that New South Wales Police openly admit that they didn't handle it well to start with, but that has changed. Mm. That's true.
yeah, you could see through the course of the documentary that there was an improvement of the seriousness of the crime and what needed to be really done to help the community.
And Superintendent Donna Adney has taken over responsibility for gay and lesbian liaison in New South Wales Police, and it's been a dramatic change as a result of her taking over.
So have they got a program that's similar to what we do here?
They had the first program, so yes, they've been running for quite some time, about 16, 17 years, I believe. It might even be a bit longer, it might be closer to 20 years.
So I walked away from that documentary and the questions and answers afterwards. I just thought, well, I want to learn more information for myself. And the more I sort of became aware of the project, the more I wanted to be involved. So I've just really just recently started learning more about it and telling people about it.
What have you been doing with the AVP?
In the 3 days that you've... No, it's a bit longer than that, isn't it? It's a couple of months now that you've been volunteering with them. A month?
Sort of the last few weeks, a month, yeah.
Yeah. Mm. So... do you think that, from your perspective, that violence is still an issue for the gay community?
Well, probably not so much for me personally, but when you think about, yes, the community, I would imagine that there would be violence out there that we're not aware of, which puts violence on the map in terms of GLBTI community. And I guess the importance is to try and make people feel comfortable about letting us become aware of that violence so we can get the police involved where possible and understand about what's really happening in the community.
So a really important way for the community to be able to educate our police to be able to respond. You've been involved in one of those sort of sessions recently?
Yeah, just last week I was invited to be a community representative on behalf of the GLBTI community and actually go out to the Police Academy in Glen Waverley, I think it is, and spent about 3 hours in the afternoon on Thursday in a open group discussion where we did break into small groups. And as a gay male and a representative from the Anti-Violence Project, we talked to the recruits, introduced myself and talked about what I was representing as a community representative and gave them the opportunity to ask questions.
What sort of questions did they ask?
I was actually really impressed about the calibre of the recruits and the questions they're asking, actually. Questions about how do you identify that someone's gay? What if someone isn't obviously gay? How do you think someone would like to be treated in terms of, you know, when they're obviously identified as being gay? How would you, you know, deal with them and approach them, interview them? And just very genuinely interested in understanding as much as possible about how best to engage people within the GLBTI community in terms of doing their role. So quite a lot of questions, actually. Questions along those nature. Questions about the situations that people may be in in terms of needing Victoria Police assistance. I got the opportunity to maybe identify some of the situations that they may be in. For example, someone may be at a beat, doesn't feel comfortable about engaging the police. And, but if you're in a situation where someone has identified as being involved there, how would you deal with it? And I sort of talked about, well, if we can try and be treated like we treat any other member of the community, it's going to go a long way to make someone feel comfortable to be in front of a Victoria Police representative.
Yep.
I mean, it's all about relationships, really. You know, how you feel comfortable of being around people allows people to be relaxed, answer the questions that need to be asked to get the information for police to do their role.
What did you expect before you walked into the police academy? And were those expectations... did they become real, or did something happen that you perhaps didn't expect to happen?
I wasn't really quite sure what to experience on the day, actually. I felt a little bit nervous going in there because I thought, oh, I don't really sort of feel qualified, you know, like I'm just like a worker. But I very quickly became comfortable because everyone was just being themselves.
Yep.
And I had an opportunity to just be myself and allow myself to just go with the flow of the day, and very quickly I felt comfortable and delighted to be there on the day.
So 2.5 hours later, how did you feel?
I felt fabulous.
Why did you feel fabulous?
Because I just thought it was such an empowering experience and opportunity, not just for me as a gay male and a representative of the Anti-Violence Project, but there I was at the police academy. I was given an opportunity to help influence the training syllabus on that particular day in front of, what would there have been, about 30 recruits?
Oh, no, there was 54.
So there I was. I was from the community helping Victoria Police train the police of tomorrow. So in 5, 10, 15 years from today, those people are going to be out on the beat and they're going to be more empowered and trained to deal with GLBIT community in their role.
And Scott, the recruits at that stage are only in, have been in the academy for a little over a week.
Day 9.
Yeah, that's right, going into the second week.
The other thing we need to point out is it's not just gay community representation as part of this session. We had people from that were Burmese refugees, from Sudan, Aboriginal people. So we had a whole range of different people in the room giving their experiences and opportunities for learning to the recruits.
Absolutely.
You're on Joy 94.9. Scott Harrison from the AVP. Before I let you go, how can we get involved with the AVP?
To get involved, there's a couple of websites I can bring to your attention if you weren't already aware. StopHomophobiaToday.com and also antiviolence.info.
People can get across there and there's information about how to get in touch with the Anti-Violence Project and become involved. Would you recommend that people become involved?
Absolutely. If you want to be more interested in preventing crime in our community, go to those websites, have a look at what's going on and get involved.
Scott Harrison, thanks for joining us, and no doubt we'll catch up with you in the next couple of months. Get across to StopHomophobiaToday.com and also antiviolence.info. Scotty, a couple of messages.
Yes, we've got one in from Jason, and Jason says that last November he was unfortunately caught doing something that he shouldn't have been doing in a public place, and basically exposure and masturbation. Jason, you've asked a number of questions there. I think your best bet is to do what you're doing. You're going to get some legal advice, and then your solicitor can make an application to the court on your behalf around the things that you were asking in regards to community service and non-conviction. You really need to speak to a solicitor, your legal practitioner, and they will make an application for you.
Regarding a conviction, would something like that stop you from travelling?
I don't know that it would stop you from travelling, but certainly when you travel to some countries, they ask you, have you been found guilty of a criminal offence? And it can impact on that and employment as well.
Okay. Also, one from Lisa.
Yeah, we have a hello from Lisa in Ohio, who says, keep on keeping it safe over there. And I think Lisa used to listen when we were on Thursday, so she's followed us.
She's
to
found
Wednesday.
Us.
Thanks,
found
Lisa.
Us
again. Hi, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa. Also joining us in the studio all the way from Eltham High School, we have a work experience student. Molly, welcome.
Good morning.
How did you choose to come here at Joy? Why did you choose to have a radio station as your work experience?
Well, I'm interested in music and IT, and so if you put them together, pretty much radio. So
okay.
It worked pretty well.
So Molly's been sitting at the back of our studio, so we thought we'd just get her on quickly before she did. So how have you found your experience sitting in the studio here?
Oh, it's good. I'm learning lots. So.
So today is day two?
Yeah.
What else of Joy 94.9 had you doing?
Well, I've been sitting in another show and doing admin, so...
Photocopying.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, Scotty, what's next week?
Next week we've got Inspector Michelle Henderson on. She's from the Alternative Dispute Resolution Centre, so she'll be telling us all about that.
Gabby, you're in next week?
Yeah, there'll be no Scott next week, so it'll be me and Michelle and possibly someone else.
Okay, we are working on getting a email address for the Glow Show, so we'll let you know what that is. In the meantime, just add Gabby and Scott on Facebook. Gabby Tyack, Scott Davis, they're still having a bit of a competition.
I think Scott's in the lead, so come on, ask me to be your friend.
They're back next week. We're here every week, Wednesdays, 11 o'clock.
Wherever we live, work and play, safety affects all parts of our lives.
Community safety is everyone's responsibility, and there are things we can do to make our homes, workplaces, streets, neighbourhoods and communities safer.
Victoria Police Glows, Crime Stoppers, the Anti-Violence Project and Joy 94.9 working together to help make our community safe.
Just out? Tune in. Joy 94.9.
This has been another Joy 94.9 podcast. Joy 94.9 is a gay and lesbian volunteer-based community radio station committed to providing a voice for the diverse GLBTI communities. You can support our work by becoming a member or making a donation. For details, go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.